Welcome to the Heart of the Matter. This is Pastor Ralph Obadiah. We are very blessed today to have Chang Nguyen, who is a missionary pastor in Cambodia. Now, Pastor Chang was born in Cambodia, raised in Cambodia, came through the killing fields of Pol Pot. He was in Cambodia, I understand. He will explain it to us. Maybe I'm mistaken, but I believe he lived through that reign of terror, Pol Pot. And he's now in the gospel field in Cambodia. He has gone back. He's come to America, and he's gone back. And, of course, he has a faithful wife that also ministers with him, who is from Cambodia. And they've gone back to set up churches in Cambodia and preach the gospel. And so we have an awful lot to talk about with Pastor Chang today. And, Pastor, it's just a great blessing to have you on the Heart of the Matter today.
Thank you.
I want to also tell people that the way I actually came across Pastor Chang is by SermonAudio.com, where I have sermons posted, and we noticed Pastor Chang there and read a little bit of his story and thought, well, this is it sounds to me like it's a very worthy ministry he's involved with, and we wanted to present that ministry to those of you who are listening, so you might pray, and some of you might want to get involved as well. But we have much to talk about, so we'll get right down to business. Pastor Pol Pot, many people have forgotten this reign of terror the Khmer Rouge inflicted on Cambodia. How old were you at that time?
That time is, I'm about, let's say, 17 years old,
mm-hmm.
in 1975.
Mm-hmm.
And the Pol Pot Khmer Rouge, they took over the whole country and become a full power to do everything in 1975.
Mm-hmm.
And he destroyed the country by kill all the professional, like a doctor, like a teacher, or a politician.
Mm-hmm.
And soldier or anyone educated or who reside the new government.
So were Christians persecuted then as well for being Christians?
Yes. Christian or Buddhist or monk, they killed all of them.
So was he, first of all, Pol Pot was a communist, correct?
Yeah, that's correct.
Now, was he killing all these people because he was trying to kill off anybody with any sort of influence whatsoever of any type? Is that what it was? Or what was the purpose?
It's very difficult why did he kill that way. The reason he said the Cambodian people is a work for the United States government.
Mm.
And another reason they say the Cambodian people is the spy of the Vietnamese.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, that boat is that is a major purpose, kill all the people. That's the reason that I know.
Now, during this time, I assume you had a family, mother, father, or were they alive yet, and sisters and brothers?
Yes, that time, I have my mom and my dad and my brother and sister. But they separate all. We not together. It's, I'm to the boot camp, and my brother too, and my sister, and my whole family is if no one meet each other at all for 4 years in family.
4 years in different camps. Now, did you all survive?
I mean,
obviously you did, but did your brother, your sister, your mother, your father, praise God, they all survived?
It's that time is everybody is some kind of, we don't know what we're going to do at all.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, some kind of blind in the mind, in the heart, cannot how to find or ask or pray or anyone help at all. Just like animal, they take and they say anything, just follow them, mm-hmm. even poor or rich or strong or weak, but it's a follow the Pol Pot Khmer Rouge.
Now, but your mother and your father and your family did come through this alive then.
Yeah, yeah.
And about, I think it was like about a one, wasn't it one third of the Cambodian population were murdered or starved to death or tortured to death under Pol Pot in just a short time?
Yeah, yeah.
It's incredible. Now,
my father, he's in a prisoner about time they're going to kill him, but he's... still alive because a Vietnamese soldier come and took over at that time, and they killed all the prisoners, but my father, he's only one, him, still alive.
Was he a Christian at the time?
That time, my father, he's the background, he's a priest of the Buddha, and he's worked for the financial, for that village, loan money to the people. That is, they hate communists. They hate them.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And, but they don't kill quickly. But they put him in prisoner, and they're gonna kill later.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, maybe we'll wait a little while, and then I'd like to ask a little bit about your family and when you got saved, and if any of them did. Saved and redeemed by the Lord by faith in Jesus Christ, repentance and faith in Christ. But before we get to that, did you live in a small village prior to Pol Pot coming, or could you just tell us a little bit about your life before Pol Pot came to get your family?
Yeah, yeah. I live about 40 kilometers from Phnom Penh, the large city in Cambodia. Small village on east, and I grew up, and my father, my mom, and I have about 10 brothers and sisters. Then I finished school on 1967. Then my father sent me to learn how to have a business for watch repair and radio repair in close to Phnom Penh. Then after that, I have that kind of business.
Now, when you heard, when Pol Pot took power, did the people first hear rumors that there was danger involved, or did they think it was a good thing, or, when did you realize that there was real danger here?
The first, they say it's a good.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, they say good, because the governor, the first governor in my area, he's still alive right now. He's the second one up from the Pol Pot, and he's get an education master degree from France, and he's still alive now. His name is Khizum Pon, and he's a good person that time in 1960 something, and made a lot of people is supporting because he do good.
Mm-hmm.
And many people is support because on that time is we have a Vietnam war around, not far at all, and drop all the bomb, and the people is scared, try to do something from the war.
Mm-hmm. The Vietnam War was scaring them.
Yeah, yeah, it dropped the bomb every day and every night, and we can hear all the time. Mm-hmm. All kind of noise, the bomb.
Okay, so then Pol Pot came in, and you thought that he would stabilize things and provide protection. Is that what the people thought?
Yeah, yeah, that is the beginning. Yeah.
Okay, and then when they started, when did they realize that this man was evil? When did your family realize that this man was evil? And once people began to realize that, did they then just sort of hope for the best? Or what? Can you tell us a little about what took place in people's minds and what they did when... Now, at what point did they say, wait, this man is evil and dangerous?
That is until 1975.
Uh-huh.
Then when he moved the people from the city and separate all the people, and they start to kill, then they say, okay, now they know. we know the East Communist in Pol Pot is a danger, and not many people, because when the first time they come, and it's good, yeah. It's very, very good. They take very good all that politics. And a lot of people, and they say, oh, okay, let's turn the country to be good.
Yeah. Now, when let's talk about the day that your family was taken. Were you all taken at once, or can you just walk through that? I mean, you know, what happened? Did they come to your house and pick you up, or can you just tell us about that?
Okay, the that time in 1975, they have the leader on the village. They organize all the government, Pol Pot, Khmer Rouge everywhere. Then they come and they say, okay, you have to follow the government. They call Ong Ka, that the that is the power in Cambodia at that time.
Mm-hmm.
And we have to follow and to go when they say, okay, to this camp, and we have to follow that because we are afraid to die. They're going to kill quickly when we not go with them that time.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe that night, they're going to come pick it up anyway and kill.
Did you, prior to going to the camps, did you witness any of that sort of brutality and killing?
Yeah. The camp is, they not kill quickly, but the camp is make work. They have a rule, like wake up like 3 o'clock in the morning, work to 11 o'clock, and cannot go, cannot walk nowhere. It's work and, follow all their rule.
So is it like farming type work, agriculture?
Yes, it's most is a farming or make the creek for bringing all the water for make, the farm.
Mm-hmm.
That is the most my life is, make the creek, dig the creek. A lot of people, a thousand people, and work together and make the creek from the farm to connect to the river or to the lake and make a dam for open and make the water come through and make the farm a rice farm.
So were you digging then with picks and shovels and doing that kind of labor and moving dirt and things like that and rocks?
Yeah, all kinds of things. Sometimes we explode the ball too, the field ball, the mine ball. Yeah.
And so you were all alone. I mean, you
rock all kinds of things is some is very, very difficult, but we have to. Doesn't matter.
Mm-hmm. Was this just young men, or was it?
I'm still young, above 18. Yeah.
And then your family, they were all separated in different camps. What kind of nutrition did you get? Did people literally die in these camps as you were working there?
The people die is some they die by killing, exhausted. They sick and no hospital and no medicine, and some is die by overwork.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's so many different made the people die, not just to kill, but it's no food, enough to eat, and made the people weak and overwork.
Yeah. So you saw the heart of man, I mean, just bared. I mean, you saw what's really in man's heart when he's not belonging to the Lord, when he's not a child of God, when he's not saved and redeemed. You really saw what's in the heart of man through all this, didn't you?
Yeah. And that time, I really want to die.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want to live at all because so very difficult. But I'm afraid I cannot kill myself.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't want to live at all because it's very, very bad. I don't know how to say it right now, but I don't want to live at all.
The things you were seeing, people were dying. People were people sometimes just killed at random, it seemed like, as well?
Yes, no, I'm not sure about the, but I heard, you know, they say, but I never see any that kind of machine to kill the people. Mm-hmm. We don't know. We stay in a camp, and we don't know what can they do or kill the people in that time at all. We lost the people. We lost a friend. We lost, but we don't know what they're going to do.
And you don't know what's going
they
on?
They say... Oh, they separate to the different camp because Lowell is okay to stay here. This person, Lowell, you know, high family, background family, relationship with the government, then they're going to separate different camp.
Mm-hmm.
But it's it's true, but it's they kill, but they, you know, they don't tell the truth.
Well, what would happen in those camps if someone said, I can't work any longer, I can't do it, I'm sick, I'm not able to do this sort of work, what would happen?
Yeah, that is a good question. When you cannot work, you're sick, they have people called, not a doctor, but it's a nurse, something, check your temperature, check your, you know, everything, and sick. But when you're sick, but you know, some people is still hungry, and because it's weak, it's tired, and they say when the people sick, it don't need to eat, eat much of food. We say people sick is sick. When the people sick and eat, they say we lie, and they're gonna kill.
Mm-hmm. What if someone tried to get away? What happened if they tried to get away and then they got caught?
They caught. They gonna kill.
And they kill them.
They bring back. Some people, they bring it back. I don't know why. But some people, they don't bring back at all.
They just kill them.
They say that is an enemy.
Mm-hmm.
They talk about enemy all the time. When something wrong, talk wrong, we have to keep quiet and cannot say anything. When say something, say that's the enemy. When you escape, no way to go. Mm-hmm. Can go home, cannot go to family or village at all, they're gonna send it back and put in a prison later and it die themselves or they kill.
So then you were freed by the Vietnamese?
Yeah.
Vietnamese invasion.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And the same thing with your parents and you said you had, I misunderstood you earlier, but you had 10 brothers and sisters. Now did all 10 of those brothers and sisters survive Pol Pot's reign and were freed, or did they not survive, some of them?
That is a Vietnamese camp, and we get free after a Vietnamese soldier took over.
So your family survived?
Yeah.
Isn't that sort of a miracle that all of your family survived?
This is... I do not know why it be. Then, like, my mom and my dad is supposed to... You know, they're going to kill because they put in prison many years already and wait for time they kill, but they didn't kill yet until the Vietnamese come over, then, they're still alive. And
still
this, I hope the Lord have a plan, something to me and to my family.
Amen. Well, when the Vietnamese did free your camp, can you tell us a little bit about that? Did Pol Pot's men just run away? Did they fight? Did they threaten to kill you? I mean, what can you tell us about that moment? It must have been a tremendous moment when you realized that you were going to be free.
That time is the Pol Pot is when they heard the gun or the Vietnamese come and they kill quickly.
Mm-hmm.
And run away, the Khmer. But some, they try to run away by themselves too, and they don't have a time to kill the people. Mm-hmm. Depend how that time. But when we heard the Vietnamese come, I'm run away. I'm not stay with them at all. And they busy to looking for the protect the Vietnamese soldier. And that's the good time for me to run away from them.
So you got out of there because the Pol Pot's men were killing some of the prisoners, trying to kill them before the Vietnamese got there.
Yeah, that is true.
Wow. Mm-hmm. So you ran away. Eventually, you got reunited with your family, I assume. But before we go there, when did you get saved then? Can you tell us the circumstances of how you came to Christ?
Yeah, on 1981, when I escaped from 1979 to 1981, I'm a refugee at a refugee camp.
Mm-hmm.
Then I heard the gospel, and I reject that time. Many people try to tell me about Jesus, and I say no, I don't believe, and I get angry, and I'm trying to walk away. But until 1983, then I become to think about Jesus all the time. I cannot forget at all. I'm trying to forget, but something going on in my mind. I cannot sleep. I cannot eat good, and I looking for the life insurance for protect and for take care of my family when I'm die. Then I have a life insurance, but it's still the same. It's not work at all until.
So you were looking for assurance from life insurance. You were buying a lot of life insurance to take care of your family when you die.
Yeah.
But the Spirit of God was convicting your conscience and working on your heart and drawing you toward God. And toward
that's
toward
right.
The Savior.
But I don't know that time, man.
You were trying to get away.
Yeah, I'm trying to try to run away and try to do my own.
Yeah.
And but then on 1986, I become saved and to know God.
Praise the Lord.
God, you know, that's nobody invite me to the church or nobody ask me, but I'm go, you know, walk through the church, you know, myself, my family.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And did you have a wife now?
I'm married.
Yeah,
I
you
have,
had at that time.
Four children.
Okay.
And I have one grandchildren now.
Now, what of your mother and your father? Did you meet that? Did you get reunited with them and your the rest of your family in the refugee camps? Then is that when you got reunited with them, or?
My family. And you talk about my wife and.
No, your brothers, your sisters,
oh.
Your mother, your father. When did you reunite with them, or when did you find them after this reign of terror you were?
Yeah. After I come to United States in 1981, I wrote the letter sent back to the my country, and I keep trying so many, and I received my father letter sent back to me in 1982, and I have a connect. You know, to know each other from that time. But they said my mom, she passed away already. She don't know I'm alive at all.
Oh, that's sad. So you never got to talk to her again?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. That is sad.
Yeah.
And so you came to know the Lord, and obviously the Lord really had his hand upon you, because in the camp that you survived all that horror and that terror and that starvation and that overwork, and then you wanted to die, but you didn't want to kill yourself, praise God. And then eventually you heard the gospel, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And someone shared the gospel, and that person probably didn't even know that you got saved, did they?
Yeah, that's correct. It's, you know, some the people didn't share. I have one lady in the camp, she a widow, and she sing a song, night door every night, and I hate her. I say, you know, she need to shut up. You know, what is she thinking about? Because I heard, you know, they sing the music, the gospel music, and she have a worship in her house every night, and I don't like it that time, and I have many more people talk about Jesus and give me a track in the camp, and I read that, but I threw it away.
Mm-hmm.
I don't keep at all. But later on, yeah, the word of God in touch me, in the spirit of God in touch me and make me.
We think of the words of the Lord: a sower went out to sow.
Yeah.
And that's what we need to do, go out to sow, constantly sowing. And I hope the people listening are encouraged. Here's a man that was, and I've heard these same stories before, that was literally very angry when he heard the gospel, in spite of what he went through. And you were a little on the hard side at that time. Then after going through all that horror and terror and surviving it, you were pretty hard-hearted at that point then toward the Lord, huh?
Oh, yeah, it is. I have my own religion, Buddha.
Mm-hmm.
I don't need any other religion at all.
Mm-hmm.
That has made me angry, and my father is a priest too.
A Buddhist priest.
Yeah, I reject, but the gospel of God doesn't matter. The people, long the people have an ear.
Yeah.
Now people can hear.
Now, Pastor Chang, we're down to about less than 4 minutes here, and I want to talk about your ministry, and obviously 4 minutes isn't enough. So what I'm going to ask is if we could do another show, perhaps we can do it for the following week. We'll play this 1 week, and then a following week we'll talk about your ministry and let people know exactly how you got into ministry and what your ministry consists of. I know you've started churches in Cambodia, very bold for the gospel. We'll get into that.
Yeah.
And in the time we have left, just a couple of things that are on my mind. First of all, I think of that godly woman that wouldn't stop sharing the gospel in that refugee camp, and others as well, even though they were literally hated and despised. I'm sure other people in those camps, some got saved, but I suppose the Christians in those camps, other people were mad at them too then, I suppose.
Yeah. The Lord called me for the... his ministry, and that is for sure.
Yeah.
So 1987.
Mm-hmm.
It's a long story for me to, you know.
Well,
no time enough.
No, we'll wait on that. We'll do that on the next show. But I guess I was just encouraging people that we need to be able or willing to bear the reproach of Christ, don't we, if we're going to see sinners saved for the kingdom of God. We need to be willing to bear the reproach of Christ. And in America, so many Christians are apathetic. They won't take a stand for Christ. They don't make spreading the gospel a priority, just going out. Could you just, in a couple of minutes we have left here, what would you say to those Christians after all you've seen, literally people dying, going to hell without hearing the gospel? What would you say to Christians that just don't seem to understand that, you know, it's a simple proposition, go out and share the gospel, be a sower?
Yes, when we believe in the Spirit of God in us, mm-hmm. we will not stay, and we have to move, and we have to obey. And the Word of God in the Bible, like in Romans chapter 10, if your mouth talk about Jesus, you say, if the people, you know, is understand that, and cannot say, oh, cannot to witness a testimony to other people, if they don't understand the Word of God, and they can keep quiet, then do nothing, because they don't want to obey in the Word of God.
Mm-hmm.
And the Spirit of God is a work on them all the time, but they don't want to do it.
Yeah.
And this is very important for the Christian people. If you then witness, talk, tell the people about Jesus, that is, I don't know, it's difficult for me to say they saved or not.
Mm-hmm. That's
because
right.
The Word of God say, you get saved is your mouth.
Yeah.
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 So,
so those who are saved ought to be saying so. The redeemed of the Lord ought to say so. We believe, therefore we speak, that we have a great commission. And for some reason, the church in America is going for all sorts of nonsensical, stupid, worldly gimmicks. I wonder how many of these people are really saved that are relying on all the devices of men instead of the powerful word of the gospel, which is the power of God unto salvation to all who believe.
Yeah, that's right. Uh-huh.
Pastor Chang, we're going to ask you, would you be willing to do another program with us and tell about your ministry?
Oh, yeah. I really enjoy this program, and I will.
Okay.
Anytime.
All right. Well, we will certainly remind listeners then that we'll have you back on the Heart of the Matter within a very, very short time to hear all about your ministry. God bless you, Pastor.